This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us right now, and I appreciate it. The host of the Talking Ball podcast with Pat Leonard. It's Pat Leonard. You can check that out on his YouTube channel. I just queued him up before the break. Pat Leonard covers the Giants for the New York Daily News, and we've got breaking news in this last hour. Russell Wilson to the Giants. Pat, thanks for joining us tonight.
Keith, you got it, man. You know, we're on calls every day, every night during this process. I mean, this Giants quarterback search, as you know, it's dragged on. It's had twists and turns, so never a dull moment. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm not a Giants fan, so I guess I can't feel the pain that Giants fans have felt the last few seasons and then even this signing, but I'm starting to get the feeling that Giants fans aren't excited about this, right? And I don't know, I'm going to ask you, do you think that Giants fans aren't excited about signing Russell Wilson because they were hoping for Aaron Rodgers, or do you think it's more so that they feel like now they're not going to draft the young quarterback of the future in this draft?
Well, there's the disappointment of pursuing and believing the Giants were getting Matthew Stafford only for Stafford to turn them down. Mm-hmm. And then the hope that they were going to get Rodgers, who, if you wanted to categorize these quarterbacks quality-wise, despite the disaster that was the Jets and his tenure there, talent-wise, Rodgers still offered that glimmer of hope of this 31st-ranked offense being something much more. With him off the table, there's the disappointment there. There's also, from the Giants fan base, I think, a level of confusion, because once the Jameis Winston signing happened, the feeling was, oh, so this is a guy who we know turns the ball over, but is affordable, can push the ball down the field. Malik Nabers can get his touches and targets, run after catch. You know, you have somebody capable who also isn't costing a lot that you can then pair with a rookie draft pick on a rookie contract, and off you go into both the present and future. Signing Wilson on top of that kind of reinforces the desperation, the fact that Rodgers is no longer an option, and also calls into question that they're still pursuing a guy like Wilson, whether the Giants even feel like they can get the quarterback at that number three pick. And then the unanswered question, of course, Keith, like just when we start the offseason, is who's their franchise QB? Like, they have two quarterbacks now, plus Tommy DeVito, but they still don't have a franchise quarterback in the building after this signing.
Yeah, to me, I think it just points to win now, you know, them making moves in the immediate and them saying, hey, okay, you know, we've got two guys here who won games in the NFL last year. One of these guys, and I think the lean is that Russ is QB1 and then that, you know, Winston is a backup. One of these guys is going to help us win some games, and we can still draft a quarterback, but later in the draft. So my next question to you is, hey, at number three overall, the Giants are on the clock. Who are they taking?
Right. No, good question. Well, I think Shedeur Sanders is the player that everybody's looking at, everybody's watching, everybody's thinking about when it comes to the Giants at number three right now. Although the Stafford pursuit and even the signings of Wilson, Winston, seem to point to the fact that maybe, and listen, their process is still ongoing with these quarterbacks, but maybe the Giants aren't either confident that they're going to be able to get their guy at three because he's going to go one or two, or they don't think that franchise QB actually exists, right? Could that be a Travis Hunter? Could that be an Abdul Carter there? We'll see about that. I think Shador, if he's not the number two pick, profiles as the most likely pick right now at number three. Interesting, though, you know, the Cleveland Browns, just like the Giants and the Titans, are a team that looks desperate for a quarterback and obviously in the market and is doing the research on all these top QBs. But nobody knows exactly which direction they're going. It seems like some certainty right now that the Tennessee Titans are going to take Cam Ward number one overall from Miami. But are the Browns going to go QB? Will they take Shador? Justina Anderson, insider, just reported tonight after the Giants signed Russell Wilson that a source told her that the Browns are sending some signs that they potentially are open to trading back. So could the Giants be moving up there to protect their turf and get their guys? Will somebody else be trying to jump them? Still a lot of uncertainty about what they'll be able to do because they won that game against the Colts late in the year and they won themselves out of the controlling their own destiny position.
We're on the phone right now with Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants for the New York Daily News. I'm just deep into thought about, like, it's one, how the board shakes out. I don't know. I think that the Cleveland Browns need to draft a quarterback just to restart their franchise. Deshaun Watson was a mistake. They did trade for Kenny Pickett. But when you have Myles Garrett come back and you have Myles Garrett take the money and talk about winning, and, you know, he did an interview where he said, yeah, you know, he's got an idea who's going to be playing quarterback. Like, there were some rumors that maybe it's a Kirk Cousins reunion with Kevin Stefanski, but I just think still, Kirk Cousins is 35 years old. Like, I think they're inclined to take Shador Sanders. And if he's not there, I really do like the idea of Travis Hunter. I've been leaning into the fact that he's a star. You know, he came here to New York, won the Heisman. He's got millions of followers. He's a freak athlete. He's a football-first guy. He's a two-way player. So, hey, if it doesn't work at corner, maybe it works at receiver, but maybe it works at both. Maybe you actually land, and I'm not saying he's Shohei Ohtani. He's nowhere near what Shohei Ohtani is in football, but maybe you land a guy that they're saying could potentially be the Shohei Ohtani of football. And then what do you think about the idea of, okay, you draft Hunter 3 overall, and then maybe you see how far a Jackson Dart or a Jalen Milroe drops in the draft, so you can still satisfy the fans that are saying we need a young quarterback in this draft.
I like that idea, and I do think Hunter will make some team better. I agree with that. One concern, though, is like a guy like Jackson Dart, you know, his stock has been rising ever since the NFL season ended and the offseason and the draft process started. And if you draft a position player, if you're trying to trade into the back of the first or use an early second round pick on Jackson Dart, I don't think you're getting him. Now, does Jalen Milroe fall into that category? You know, you're talking about, you know, the Quinn Ewers, you know, the McCords. Like, you're talking about kind of a different class of developmental quarterback. I mean, I think getting a developmental rookie in here is paramount. So in some scenario, the Giants have to be adding, with a draft pick, a quarterback that Brian Daboll can get his hands on and try to develop and show ownership and John Mara some progress and a sliver of hope, not just from the coaching development standpoint, but also from the personnel identification standpoint from Joe Shane in the front office, that they know talent when they see it. So I think either way they come out of this draft with a passer. You know, I think, you know, Dart, though, is a very interesting name because, like I said, the scenario of getting him after getting a Travis Hunter is really tempting. But where do you have to trade up to get that player if you're using the number three on Hunter? It might be too expensive to get all the way up there to get him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is the riser of this draft. There are so many quarterback needy teams, and there's always going to be a surprise team. Like last year, the Falcons are like, yeah, we'll take Michael Penix. Somebody is going to say, yeah, we're drafting Jackson Dart. So even though the Giants pick 34 overall in the second round, where you imagine them being able to trade up back into the first round, I know Tankathon has Jackson Dart at 37 going to the Raiders. So He would. In no way. He would potentially be there in that world, right, for the Giants to take in the second round. But let's talk about this, right? The draft is unknown, but what we do know is with the money that the Giants have had, they've already spent and added some talented players, a couple offensive linemen, Stone Forsythe and James Hudson. I really like the Javon Holland signing, even Paulson Adebo. What do you think about this free agent class that they're bringing in? I even talked about, you know, little names like Lil Jordan Humphrey, pun intended, and Zach Pascal. Like, those are small signings, marginal guys, but they're guys that could make an impact in the locker room and the level of practice and the level of compete that the Giants have. What do you think they've done, or how do you feel so far about what they've done with the money they've had to spend in free agency?
Yeah, I think they've definitely targeted, you know, specific positions of need, and they are well aware of the positions where they need higher level caliber talent on the field. Corner and safety were two positions there. My favorite signing of that first wave of free agency was Chauncey Golston from Dallas.
Yes.
I like that signing a lot. I think that the Giants' negligence last year showed up in many ways on the roster, but especially in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball. They did not have, they invested a lot in the Brian Burns trade, but they were not able to set edges well enough in the running game, and they didn't have enough depth on the interior to complement Dexter Lawrence. And so I like that signing a lot. I think Golston plays with some violence and some attitude. Those are the types of players I want to see more added to this team. You know, Adebo, hopefully he's healthy. Had Cam Jordan on Talking Ball a couple weeks ago, said that he believes he is a number one corner and that they had two number ones when he was paired with Lattimore down there with the Saints. So that's encouraging to hear. My one major concern from the free agent process, though, is that the Giants are kind of resting on their laurels when it comes to the offensive line. Now, they do still have the draft. I would be shocked if they didn't use a draft pick on like a guard or a tackle slash guard, a guy with some flex who can compete and develop, because I know the Giants have a higher opinion of their offensive line than people like myself do. But I do think, regardless of what you think of their ups and downs of last year, you need to continue throwing assets at that position and hitting on that talent. And Joe Shane has not yet shown that he can accurately judge guys who can win on the line of scrimmage there. So that is my glaring concern coming into the free agent process.
Pat, there's not too much more to ask you. I mean, we talked about Russell Wilson. We talked about the potential draft picks. Oh, I'll throw another one in there for you. Like, do you think Jameis Winston signed with the idea that he would be QB1? Because I do remember him saying, you know, he wants to sign somewhere and get an opportunity to start. Now, what do you think the dynamic is going to be? Are they going to tell Russell Wilson and Jameis that they're competing for QB1? Or are they going to say Russ gets the nod from his pedigree and his, you know, more experience and better resume, and you know, Jameis, you're going to be the two? Do you think there'll be any issues there? We saw some issues last year when it was Drew Lock thinking that he was QB2, and then Tommy DeVito became QB2 once they moved on from Daniel Jones.
That's a good question. I think Jameis knows what he is right now in his career, which is a guy who, even if a team likes him, they're going to put him probably in a competition of some sorts. They know that they can trust him as a backup, and they'll also, he can start games if they need him to. I do think the timing of his signing is very unusual, though. And from the standpoint of what did he expect and where did the Giants go from there, I think that signing indicated that point, and obviously this was only a few days ago. At that point, the Giants didn't know if they were going to come out empty-handed of this whole chase of all these veteran quarterbacks. Like, Joe Flacco walked out of the building without a contract. Mason Rudolph was someone who reportedly they were trying to set up a Zoom for, and he just ended up leaving Tennessee and going to Pittsburgh. And then Wilson was hanging out there. Rodgers was leaving them on read. So I think the Winston signing was more anything, you know, we got to get a guy under contract here. And then from Winston's standpoint, he's going somewhere where he knows he's going to have a chance to at least compete. And then the Wilson signing, the Giants flares that they're still in the veteran market, signals that that they still believed that they needed to do better and do more there. I would be shocked if Russell Wilson signed with the Giants at a $10.5 million guaranteed number without some sort of assurance that he was going to start early. Not that he has much leverage here, because the Steelers didn't really want him back, and did not have a strong market out there. But it would surprise me if he didn't sign here, at least with some assurance that he wasn't going to go into the season taking some snaps. I mean, you remember last year when he came in and visited the Giants, the reason he wasn't a Giant is because they were like, well, we still have Daniel Jones under contract here. We can't like sit here and guarantee you the week one job.
Yep.
And that's how he ended up going to Pittsburgh. And he only didn't start that season because of the calf injury. So I think you're looking at Russell Wilson as the starter now. But again, it's going to be one of those situations. We get under the field in the summer, there's going to be plenty of reps where Jameis Winston's going to look better than Russ. And I think Brian Daboll's under the gun here to demonstrate that he can coach Russell Wilson to some success like Arthur Smith did in the early part of last season before the wheels came off.
Yeah, and we'll see where Malik Nabers has a lean, whether he likes that football coming out of the hand of Jameis or Russell Wilson. And I've already made jokes about like they can't play future in the locker room. I know that the Giants stayed away from Hard Knocks for years, and then they did the offseason Hard Knocks, which was a huge mistake. But hey, you already made that mistake. They should sign up for the preseason Hard Knocks in August, because now you've got Sierra coming to camp. You've got Jameis, right? And they talk so much about how New York now, you don't need to come to New York for your brand. Well, I certainly think it's going to help the socialites with, you know, Russell Wilson and Sierra that like to go to the Met Gala. And then even Jameis Winston, who was working for Fox Sports at the Super Bowl. Like, now we've got some stars. You draft Travis Hunter. Let's go. This is Hard Knocks right here. This is the next Hard Knocks on HBO.
No doubt. I definitely expect, you know, former Yankee minor leaguer Russell Wilson to be thrown out a first pitch in the next week or two, right? You have to admit that. You can see that coming from a mile away. And you're right, too. We got robbed with not having the Giants run it back on Hard Knocks this year with this whole quarterback frenzy and how desperate they've been. And you got Brian Daboll down at the Miami Pro Day while the rest of the Giants brass are. I mean, it's just so much going on here right now. We got robbed by giving them Hard Knocks, too.
Pat, you're the man. Thanks for giving us your time on short notice tonight as we got this news. I'll let you go back to enjoying the rest of your Tuesday night.
Giants country, let's ride.
Giants country, let's ride. Well done. That was Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News. Check out the Talking Ball podcast with Pat Leonard on his YouTube channel. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We're going to get back to your calls. Man, shout out to everybody that stayed on hold. We still have a full rack of calls, which means there are Giants fans, and there's some of you, Lawrence in Oklahoma City, Robbie in Lenox, some guys that I know have something to say about Russell Wilson, this move, and what it means for their beloved G-Man.